Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what is the hot topic for this week?
The team has decided that we're going to talk about references. References is a hot topic, not just for us, but for a lot of candidates. So we thought it'd be a really good idea to talk a little bit about what our process is. It might vary, why references are important, and just maybe tell a couple of stories, some of them funny, some of them not so funny.
All with the goal of helping you guys figure out how to navigate this process so we can help you help yourself with references and make sure that, you know, you are coming across as well as you hope. So yes, definitely.
Exactly. And Natalie had a really good analogy to begin with about the reference. We ask for references before we start talking to candidates about clients. And we do that as part of our pre-qualification process. We're asking for references to make a decision as to whether or not we are going to represent the candidate to our clients. So it's a one and done, which is great because then we're not counting on each client asking for references. So for the CRAs that are listening, it saves you time in the long haul, right? Because it's a one and done with us. We ask for a refresh every 5 years afterwards. But, you know, once you've got them, you've got them. But you had an analogy earlier, Natalie, and I loved it. Share.
I will share my analogy. Well, you know, sometimes I get folks on the phone and they're great about, yeah, no problem, I'll provide you my references. They get it. They totally get it. And then you have those folks that are a little bit hesitant, or why do I need to provide references if I haven't gotten the job yet? My analogy to that is it's almost like if you have a kid or a dog or some type of pet and you're looking for a sitter. Wouldn't you be asking for their references before you offer them the sitting job? Because at the end of the day, I know I'm going to want someone that has great references to watch my children and my dogs. Like, my dogs are like my babies, but that's how I look at it as, you know, we're asking for references because, yes, our clients are going to ask for it, but we also want to make sure that we're working with quality individuals that we can represent to our clients as well as for our firm as well to work with them. So that's how I look at it as, and I hope people look at it that way because, you know, it's just
– it's a time saver all around.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It really is, because then once they've done their references, they're done, and now we can just continually send them opportunities and, hey, I got this great position, and we send them all the details to the client and including references, then they're ready to go. And most of the time, those clients, when they see all that information, they're going to want to speak to that person and easy offer right after that interview because they have everything in front of them ready to go.
I couldn't agree more. And prime example, I mean, we just got a position late yesterday and we had 11 people ready today. So if we have to wait on you to submit your references and us check your references, you're going to miss opportunities. You've got to be ready, buttoned up and ready to go, fully qualified. And that way we can move very quickly because contract positions often will open and close same day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's great. Well, so talking about the why, I guess, of our reference process, let's talk a little bit about the how we find out who makes a good reference. Like, what is the content in terms of references that they want to provide?
Well, I know our process is that, and reminder to the audience, for those of you that don't know, our niche is in the placement of clinical research associates. And so in the context of representing a CRA, what we're looking for are supervisor references and site references. And, you know, some companies are okay with colleagues. I think even if a company is okay with colleagues, I would tell you as a candidate, job seekers that are listening, select individuals that have worked with you on a project, either in a supervisory capacity or someone that you've supported, meaning a direct report or a site or something like that, so that the individuals that are taking the references can see how you, A, meet your deadlines and you know, are able to submit your deliverables on time and the quality is there and that type of thing. Follow work directions, you know, that type of thing.
The
basics. So supervisors are a must, right? But the second thing is whoever you're supporting, whether it's not someone's a direct report to you, like if you're mentoring them or, you know, whatever, but also sites. You know, as a CRA, we require site references because you're supporting that site. You're monitoring that site. You're educating that site, you know, and so those are critical. A colleague, not so much, because a colleague's not going to be able to attest to the quality of your trip reports or how you handle difficult situations at the site or, you know, all of those types of things that just kind of happen. And so that's the reason why we ask for those types of references. But again, to all of you all that are listening, if you're working with a company that doesn't have that hard and fast rule, I would consider, if I'm giving references, to provide those types of references because it'll make you a lot more competitive.
It also speaks to their skills as well. I mean, we need to know if they have the skills that they've told us that they have done. Mm-hmm. I talked to a manager yesterday from one of the CRAs that provided her as a reference, and she was not hired in the monitoring capacity. She was hired just to do data entry and to load things into the ETMF.
Mm. So she's saying that she was a CRA, but she wasn't a CRA.
But she wasn't a CRA.
Well, that's a bummer for her. And that's the other thing, too. You know, we say this all the time. Recruiters scare easily. So don't embellish, right? Because if that candidate, I mean, I obviously we're not looking at her credentials right now, but if that individual had been a CRA elsewhere and she had just been honest that she was an ETMF specialist in this particular role, we'd have still taken the reference and still we would have tailored the questions more along the lines of, because ETMF, nobody likes doing TMF updates, right? So, you know, in the context of getting the work done and doing the analysis and, you know, all of that type of thing. So that's a bummer. She didn't even have to embellish that, did she?
She didn't. Yeah. Just be clear.
Well, and speaking of that, I mean, following directions in general, I mean, we're going to ask you for references that are particular to the roles that either you've been working recently or that you're looking to step back into or whatnot, depending on what you're seeking and what we think would be a good fit for you. So we're going to give you all those directions. But Jenny, I'm going to put you on the spot. What would you say advice you would give for following directions? Is there anything in particular that you would tell folks?
Definitely just to pay attention to the directions and then, you know, I mean, show that you can follow directions. That's part of it as well.
It is part of the process, isn't it, Jenny?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, if we say we need supervisor, someone who's provided you work direction in the past, you know, don't come back with your college professor who you never actually worked for. So those kind of things.
Or a colleague.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a colleague or even like in the time frame, you know, we get sometimes folks who come back with, oh, so-and-so managed me, you know, 15 years ago. But, you know, we usually ask for more recent references, ideally in the past 2 to 3 years, but also from your most recently completed assignment. You know, that's typically what we like to see. So, you know, making sure they're recent, keeping up with your network, and then sites. I know sometimes I'll get pushback that that's kind of unique. You know, a lot of people don't ask for references from site personnel, you know, coordinators and PIs and whatnot. But, you know, we really think the CRA role is so valuable for making those site relationships and how strong they are and how you can interact with those people. So, we think those ones are gold. So definitely stay in front of your network because it'll help you follow, you know, our directions to be able to provide those folks down the road when you need to.
A really good point. And we talk about nurturing our network all the time. And we've got several articles on our blog site about nurturing your network and how important it is. You know, you can't just build your network whenever you're looking for your job. You've got to keep your network nurtured. Keep your network nurtured. You know, stay in touch with past supervisors. They're going to move to other companies. That could be a goldmine for you as a job seeker, but definitely be able to use them as references. Same thing with sites. You know, maintain those relationships so that you have the network in place whenever you need it. So,
yeah.
And I know we've got Rachel. We can put Rachel on the spot here. So Miss Rachel is our queen of references. And I guess if I were going to ask you, what do you see as the top one or two things that people do that are not following directions that then holds up their candidacy, because you've got to go back and explain to them what they need to correct? And what pops into your head?
Yeah, well, regarding following directions, it could be as simple as filling up the form correctly, like the correct dates or the correct title, because it would lead us to back and forth. And, yeah. You know, we got to practice urgency. Like we said, mm-hmm. we might miss opportunities. So filling up the form diligently would really help us a lot.
mm-hmm. That's a great point, Rachel. Mm-hmm.
And then email addresses, phone numbers that are incorrect.
Yeah. Oh, that's a point, Carrie. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would kind of lead into a thought I had about once you're giving and providing your references, you know, what are some things that we would advise them to do? Maybe like communicating, making sure that info is correct and giving mm-hmm. them a heads up. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I know that I make follow-up phone calls. I don't make them as much now because Becky, you and Carrie make those follow-up phone calls. But I know there have been times whenever I've called to say, hey, Angela's, you know, provided you as a reference. This is what we're doing. You know, are you able and willing to speak to her on her behalf? And they're like, well, I wish she'd have told me that you were calling me. And I just think that's such a, I mean, that is really a missed opportunity, is to say, hey, Becky, I need references. Do you mind serving as a reference for me mm-hmm. up front before you give us Becky's contact information to call? Make sure Becky's okay. Sometimes companies don't allow references, you know, and so you want to make sure that that individual is able to provide a reference and willing to provide mm-hmm. a reference. And then, you know what, guys, ask them what they're going to say, because I think sometimes folks have a hard time self-assessing. You know, you've got a good personal relationship, but that person's going to speak to the fact that you missed your deadlines, that your metrics weren't great, or that you couldn't handle challenging sites, or that you were always behind in your TMS updates. You know, so make sure you know what they're going to say about you as well.
I would also add that sometimes when I'm informing folks about the reference check, and that's the next step, and like, oh, but I haven't, you know, almost like what you mentioned earlier about fostering and nurturing your network. Mm-hmm. And for folks that don't, get creative, go on LinkedIn, see mm-hmm. if you can find them on LinkedIn, call the site, you know, see if you can get in touch with them. You know, even if their phone number has changed, call the main number and see if they're still working there or where they went. That way you don't sell yourself short and not able to provide any references at all, and then lose out on that opportunity. Just get creative on doing a little bit of detective work and finding them, you know, if you really don't have a contact info for them anymore.
It is their career. It's not your career to build for them.
Right.
So they need to take responsibility for that.
But don't get so creative that you make stuff up.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't want that. Just get creative on how to get their phone number and email. That's all.
I've spoken to spouses pretending to be sites. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to sisters pretending to be clinical trial managers. I mean, you name it, we've seen it. Y'all do not make stuff up. You're either in the industry or you're not. And I think sometimes what happens is that sometimes people don't want to bother other people and ask them mm-hmm. to be their reference. What would you say to that, guys?
I mean, for me, I don't, they may feel that way, but at the end of the day, I guarantee that they would reach out to you to ask for mm-hmm. as you as a reference if they needed you. You know, it's a working relationship. It doesn't hurt to go out and reach out to them and say, hey, do you mind being a personal reference for me, or a reference for me for an opportunity I'm looking for? And if they say no, they say no. Next. You know, like, exactly. It's not the end of the world. And if they get all mad about it, then let them be all mad and grumpy about it. It's you have to look out for yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I think in the context of people working together, And if you really have had a collaborative working relationship, you're going to want to give that reference.
Right.
I would. I mean, I would want to do it. And but to your point, Natalie, everybody doesn't necessarily want to be bothered by it. And we had a real grumpy lady student supervisor, and she didn't want to schedule a call. She was too busy to schedule a call, but yet she kept calling in and trying to play phone tag. And whenever she finally got on my calendar, I was prepared. I thought she was going to chew me out. She actually ended up being really, 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 really nice. But I think what happens is that people, you know, it's hard, isn't it? This industry is tough.
Right.
Everybody's really, really busy. And so I think a lot of individuals are very sensitive to that. And you don't want to bother people to ask them to be your references. Bother them. It's once every 5 years for us. It's a one and done. And that's the other positive is that every client's not going to ask you for references. We share those references with our clients. So they don't have to go ask for additional references. It saves you. So don't be afraid to ask for references. So it's not a scary thing.
And then maybe to Natalie's point, there'll be an opportunity down the road where you can return the favor, you know,
exactly.
You can serve as a direct report reference for your supervisor, you know, your past manager moving forward. So it might open the door for you to kind of say, hey, I'd love to reciprocally be your reference too. I think you're awesome. And, you know, I would really appreciate this. And if you ever need anything down the road, then definitely, you know, reach out. So I think it's a chance to be mutually beneficial, you know, to be good, you know, with your network. Rachel, did you have a thought?
I know, I'm giggling. She raised her hand. It's adorable.
Well, I guess we've already established the importance of nurturing that relationship with our references, with their references. So when our candidate received the email that we usually send when they did not pass the references, don't go back to us and ask to explain it again. Because I had this candidate, Mai sent that email that they did not pass the references. And then this candidate sent me a message in LinkedIn and asking me to explain what is that email all about. I mean, of course, it's confidential that we cannot tell them what is the reason why they failed. But maybe she can go back to her references and she can assess what was the references told us, why she did not pass.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And it may not have had anything to do with what the references said about the candidate. And it may very well be that the candidate didn't follow directions, you know, to the story that Carrie shared earlier is, you know, that reference in the context of being able to quantify the individual's monitoring experience isn't going to meet our requirements. And so if she's not provided other references that do, these guys can have her walking on water. It doesn't matter. We've got to talk to somebody that can quantify the individual's monitoring capabilities, right? So, but yeah, that's a really good point. And we do get those, don't we, Rachel, to where they'll say, well, can you tell me which reference failed me?
Yeah.
We're clearly not going to share that information.
Right. Well, and that's a good segue, I think, to the other bit about, you know, what makes a good reference and how do you know that one would be a quality one to provide. It, I mean, we've already established, you know, make sure it's the right kind of reference in that their title, you know, makes sense that, you know, they were either your supervisor or direct report or site personnel, something like that. But beyond, and, you know, recent, whatnot, beyond that, what else makes a really good reference to give? Like, does it matter that, for example, does it matter if we can corroborate things before we even talk to them?
I think so. You know, our industry is really, 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 Carrie, looked like you had an aha moment. I'll let you talk. But our industry is really, really digital, isn't it? So what do you think about that, Miss Carrie?
Well, if your supervisor or your site does not have any type of digital footprint, at the very least, if you can provide a work email, because we need to quantify that person is also who you say they are. In the job industry, especially, it's very fraudulent. And we need to take the time to quantify everything that you've told us. Not that we don't trust you. I wish we could trust everyone. But unfortunately, if we're putting our brand on you and you're going out there to monitor for patient and watch out for patient safety, we need to really make sure and quantify that you are who you say you are. So they may not have a LinkedIn, especially, you know, the older generation. They don't have LinkedIns. They don't have a lot of digital footprint. Again, if you have a work email, that would be the best to provide.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Recruiters scare easily. Mm-hmm. If we get three supervisors and three sites, there's no digital footprints. They're all Gmail accounts and none of the telephone numbers are registered to a company. It doesn't matter if they flying to the moon and back. We cannot quantify that they are who they say they are. We cannot quantify they work where you said they work. We cannot quantify that you worked with them when you said you work with them. So we're, to your point, Carrie, we're probably not even going to check them because there's nothing we can do. Even if it doesn't matter what they say, we can't take the reference as valued whenever they're all like that. So, yeah. So whatever you can do to show that they really are who they say they are. And again, I get it. Some companies don't want their supervisors providing references. So providing a Gmail account is not the end of the world if they've got a LinkedIn profile that quantifies they are who they say they are. You know, I think that that's really the biggest caveat.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, we need something that we can run with to be able to, yeah, quantify and make sure it's a value reference. I mean, there's providing a reference that ticks all the boxes, but then there's, you know, taking the extra step to make sure your references look like they're good, you know, good quality, like a value reference, I guess, is a way to say it, that we could see that on paper, you know, before we even talk to them. So that's a really great point. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, does anybody else have any other thoughts about references and advice we could give?
Just want the candidates to take their time. We're taking our time on you to represent you, to make your life better, to get you in your dream position. Make sure you take responsibility in this as well, because it is your future. So take your time on your references. I mean, it's not something that we're chasing you for all the time. Once, like Angela said, once we're done, we're done. Mm-hmm. Once you pass, you pass. We can start sharing clients and put you in contracts over and over and over again. And even though we do get a 5-year refresh, if we keep you in a contract for the next 10 years, we're not going to ask for a refresh until you've been out of a contract. We're your reference.
Yeah, exactly. We're your reference. Yeah, that's exactly right. And we do. We've got people that have been with us for a long time. And as long as they're with us, we'll not ever check their references again. Yeah.
Nope. So. Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, that's the dream. That's the goal.
Yeah, it's our goal for sure. I mean, we want to engage these really high quality CRAs and keep you, just shift you from one project to the other. I call it the Goldilocks point, right? To where that we've got you at the utilization that's perfect for you.
Yeah, definitely. Or find you that perfect perm position. Yeah. You know, those come up as well. Our focus is mostly contract CRAs, but those perm positions too. I mean, if that's the best fit for you, then we are here for you. And we want to support you getting into that perfect role as well. So
exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, team. This was super valuable. I think this is going to be wonderful information for everybody listening. Thank you very much for that. Share with your friends and colleagues. And if you want to explore more of our content, you can visit craresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and other podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered straight to your inbox. So feel free to reach out at craresources.com for more information about our firm.